At the beginning of this week, in connection with the start of the new school year, the question was asked of the assembly, who began the day with prayer? Prof. Sullivan reminded us of the ease with which Christians pray and of the importance of doing so. Still at the beginning of this school year, today we will consider prayer's twin, another activity which is commonplace in the lives of Christians, one which is very beneficial for God's people, and one which also happens to begin with the letters P-R-A. Praise. Praise? It's not Saturday night or Sunday morning? No. We're not in a formal church setting? No. But the Lord does not want to limit praise to a certain location or a certain time of the week, not when it is so worthwhile and so beneficial for us. A reminder made by this small piece of paper. As I was doing some rearranging and tidying up of the organ room, I came across this pad. Across the top of the pages, as if to say, this should really be at the top of everyone's to-do list, are the words, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." Is that merely a pleasant human sentiment or divine desire? Well, through biblical directive and example, the Lord himself reveals that praise is to be at the forefront. And we have many examples. In the very opening chapter of Peter's first epistle, he just gets done with the greeting, with the introduction, and launches into, "Blessed or praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Another example is seen in the account of Zechariah. The first words to come flying out of his mouth when his tongue was finally loosed were, "Blessed, praised be the Lord God of Israel." Over 20 of the Psalms have some version of the word praise in the very opening verse. And what constitutes praise? It's simply a listing of some of the wonderful things that God is and does. Praising God or blessing God is merely uttering good things about God. And it's a big part of being a Christian. It comes naturally to individuals who have come to know the grace and salvation of the Lord. Who can keep silent when one has learned that the gift of eternal life is there for the taking, completely free of charge? When one comes to realize the enormity of the blessings which the Lord pours out on us every single day, when we learn of the Lord's unconditional love, who deserves our praise more than that Lord? To him belongs eternal praise, Psalm 111, for he is the most. He's the most high, the most powerful, the most caring, the most gracious. He is the mightiest, the greatest, the wisest. In a world which is very quick to praise people, to applaud man, and to celebrate celebrities, we need to be reminded that God is to be the ultimate recipient of our praise. It is fitting that the Lord is praised, and it is simultaneously very beneficial for us. Whether we're beginning a new day, a new week, a new school year, we begin it well when we begin it with praise. If we're starting something joyful and pleasant, praising the Lord keeps us mindful of the fact that he is the great giver of the gift, the thing that we are about to enjoy. If we are starting something that makes us apprehensive or nervous, praising the Lord can help calm us down, as it reminds us that the one looking out for us is the one who always has the best outcome in mind. If we're starting something difficult, praising the Lord first is a very helpful way to instill in us, again, the assurance that he, the one who is always present, has more than enough power to accomplish any earthly task. And this might sound counterintuitive, but it's also good to praise the Lord when we're feeling disappointed. For as we recall the great love that the Lord does have for us, we're reminded that he must have had some very, very good reason for saying no in a situation where we were so hoping for a yes. And if we are undertaking an endeavor with a heavy heart over some sin committed, there too it's great to praise the Lord as such praise can remind our hearts and reassure our hearts that he is the one whom we have come to know as forgiver and friend. We're told to praise him for his mighty acts, and certainly one of the very greatest of his mighty acts is the accomplishment of our forgiveness, full and free atonement through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus. Those are some of the whens. How about some of the hows? Praise starts in the heart, of course, wherever the Holy Spirit has caused the light of the gospel of Christ to shine, and again, Scripture has many examples. The Virgin Mary was one who exclaimed, "My soul magnifies the Lord." The healed paralytic followed close behind John and Peter, leaping for joy, and we're told, praising God. The newly baptized Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Praise is also something which is frequently sung. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord," Psalm 92, "and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." God loves to hear his people singing. The Lutheran Church rightly identified the Church of the Lord as being a singing church. For when Miriam and others were safely brought across the Red Sea, they expressed their appreciation and praise in song. Jesus himself, before going out to the Garden of Gethsemane, sang a hymn with his disciples. Paul and Silas, amazingly, when beaten up and thrown into prison, responded by praising the Lord in song. When Paul wrote to Colossian and Ephesian Christians, he specifically directed them, and along with them us, to make use of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But it doesn't even stop there. Scripture also speaks of praising the Lord with instruments. The great concluding psalm directs us to praise him with the sound of trumpet, with the psaltery and harp, with the timbrel and dance, with stringed instruments and organs, upon the loud cymbals, upon the high-sounding cymbals. Several of you have already learned how to play a musical instrument. Others of you may be considering doing so. What a marvelous encouragement we have from God's own word to develop such skills in order that such instruments can also contribute to the praises of our King. The gospel does not need music to make its point, of course. Praise does not have to be sung or accompanied by instruments to be acceptable to God. But music is the divinely designed adornment for our worship of the Savior, given chiefly for the purpose of framing and proclaiming his word. One of Luther's many statements in connection with music is this: "A new miracle deserves a new song, thanksgiving, and preaching. The new miracle that God through his Son has parted the ultimate red Dead Sea and has redeemed us from the ultimate Pharaoh, Satan. This is singing a new song, that is, the Holy Gospel, and thanking God for it. The stringed instruments of the following psalms are to help in the singing of this new song, and Christian musicians should let their singing and playing to the praise of the Father of all grace sound forth with joy from their organs or whatever other beloved music instruments there are." What's a great and helpful way to start a day, a week, a new school year? What should be at the top of the list? Praise. The praise of speech, of song, of instrument. It gives God the glory he deserves and provides us with so much help that we need. Praising the Lord. It's everywhere in the Scriptures. May it be found in many places among us. Such as hymn 38, the last two stanzas, stanzas 4 and 5 of hymn 38 in TLH.